Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Look who it is. It's the Young Gelt Militia again, back on the mahogany, waxing up. Brian Geltzeiler, hoopscritic.com, and NBA Radio on satellite. Mr. Geltzeiler, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Perel. How you doing, bud?
Chilling the most. Listen, I've been talking at great length tonight about Hayward's ankle. They're telling me it's a tibia break and a dislocated ankle. Now, when I first saw the injury and saw it turn the wrong way, basically exorcist style, I was like, I've seen that injury before actually playing in a game like about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I saw this guy have the same injury. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. Now, I know Gordon Hayward will come back, but that guy never came back. That guy never he played like once again, and it was so bad. He was like, I just don't have an ankle anymore. I'm done. But obviously, this guy will come back. But my question to you is, if you were to guess, if you broke your tibia and dislocated your ankle, would you guess that his season's over?
Oh, yeah, season's over. There's no way he's back this year. Keep one thing in mind. Paul George, a couple years ago, playing in Vegas as a warm-up for the Olympics, ended up doing the World Cup, I think it was, actually one of those in Vegas. Ended up, remember the stanchion was too close to the court?
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, snapping his leg. That was full season. And think about that. That was just, he snapped his leg in two. But that happened in August. Okay, this one happened in the middle of October. We will not see Gordon Hayward back on an NBA floor this season. As a matter of fact, and listen, I'm no doctor. I don't know exactly what that's going to be and how long it's going to take to heal. And from what I understand, an injury of that nature, it's got to be set, like, as soon as possible. Like, they have to set it immediately. But whether it requires surgery or not, who knows. But it could be a situation where maybe we're not seeing him at the beginning of next year. I mean, you know, it's, to me, it looked that bad. And again, I'm no medical expert. So, you know, but by the same token, I would be totally shocked if we see him back on the floor this year. I just don't think it's going to happen. Not with an injury that extensive. That was Perel. That's as bad an injury as I've seen on an NBA floor maybe ever.
Yeah, it was brutal. I got to tell you, I actually have had a lot of injuries playing basketball. Like, I just broke my hand, and in four places, I smashed everything. My fourth and fifth metacarpals, my pinky and ring, shattered all four of them and had it rebuilt with 14 screws. And I'm here to tell you, they're going to operate on him. He's going to go in and get a shot of morphine tonight, and they're going to put a cast on him. They're going to operate on his leg and his ankle. You don't dislocate your ankle and break your tibia and not have surgery. He's doomed. I mean, he's going under as sure as I'm sitting here. I would be floored if that guy doesn't have surgery. I'll be like, wait a minute. So he cut his leg in half, and his ankle was turned completely around, dislocated, right, and he doesn't need surgery? You got to be kidding.
It is literally, I've never seen that before, where you have a guy's leg going in one direction, and his foot is perpendicular.
Right. I've seen it. It's bad. He's the other guy. I know a guy. Mafia is my witness. Did I not know that guy, Mafia? Tell the truth. The first thing they did was they operated on his foot, and they operated on his ankle, and he got, like, literally a scar, like, 20 inches long across his foot and ankle, and they had to rebuild his ankle completely. He did the exact same thing. The guy's foot was turned around backwards, just like Hayward's, and they operated on it. He was out for a year, and when he came back, he played, like, twice and said, I can't do this, and he never played again, and now he's fat.
Yes, 100% true.
Well, you know, listen, some guys get fat in the first place, for real. You know what I mean?
But it's unacceptable.
You know, the thing is, and that's why I mentioned next season, because it's possible with an injury of that nature that it's multiple surgery. that it's one then another.
Right.
One and wait for that to heal up and then go in and take care of the other problem. So this could be a very complicated medical situation with Gordon Hayward, and that's why even this season, forget about. Let's start looking at the beginning of next year and see what can happen and where it could be. With that said, I will say this, game effort by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
For the 6 minutes after that injury occurred, they acted as if they wanted to be anywhere on a basketball court. They've been on a basketball court. And quite frankly, I can't totally blame them. I mean, that's a horrific thing to happen to a teammate and having to turn around and go play at a high level after that. But they did. And I'll say this, man, this Jaylen Brown had a grown man game, man. He looks good for real.
Yeah, he played great. And I thought Kyrie in the third and fourth played great as well. I thought Tatum played great. But I thought that in the end, they should have won the game. But I thought that what they did poorly, if you ask me, was, and I'll credit Cleveland's defense against Kyrie, but they got the ball out of his hands in the fourth quarter too much. He should have had the ball more when he was hitting those threes, like the one-legged three he hit. And after he hit that one-legged three, 25 feet out on the wing, he should have never not had the ball in his hands again the rest of the game. I don't even know why he passes to other people. He should have dominated that game going in.
Well, the thing with Kyrie, and you saw it, he definitely is making a concerted effort to try to get teammates involved, more so than he was in Cleveland, where it was just that assassin mentality. Here you saw a little bit of it tonight, and I think it's going to be an adjustment for Kyrie. The other thing is this is, you know, they were hedging Kyrie on every pick and roll, whether it was a high pick and roll, side pick and roll. They were sending somebody at Kyrie designed to get the ball out of his hands. And Stevens got creative and ran some off-ball stuff for Kyrie. He did a couple of dribble handoff plays with Baines out of horns out high at the elbow, and they ended up with a bucket in one of them, but Cleveland adjusted quickly. But that's, you know, good defenses are going to do that. They're going to look to make it harder to get the ball out of Kyrie's hands, and they're going to have to get very creative. That's why I'll tell you another guy, we didn't mention him, and again, his shooting line looked terrible. He was 5-16. Marcus Smart is such a good player, man.
Yeah.
He does so many good things on the floor. And even they had times Smart was bringing the ball up, and they were running Kyrie off the wing. Having Kyrie off the ball some actually may be an easier way to get him scoring for you if teams are going to double him out high to try to take it away from him.
I thought that, you know, when he lost all that weight, right, 25 pounds, I mean, now he's just so much sleeker in his game. 9 boards, 3 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Sounded like a mafia game. The guy did it all. He did everything like he does. He defends. I think they really love that guy. I hope they give him a deal. Let me ask you, Young Gelt Militia back on the bench, one of our favorites, Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com. Your thoughts on Bobby Portis beating the crap out of Mirotić in a snap at the Bulls practice? What the hell? I'm hearing multiple fractures in his face and surgery.
You had to hit him pretty hard, huh? I mean, and the thing is, as the stories come out, you know, it ends up being the two of them were jostling underneath for a rebound. Now, there has been simmering tensions for a while between these two. You know, Portis is not happy with his lack of playing time and thought he should have a bigger role. He thinks he's a better player than Mirotić. The team seems to favor Mirotić. And now in a rebuilding situation, they turn around and re-sign Mirotić for 2 years to play ahead of Portis again. So you have that background there, and then they end up jostling, and it's an inappropriate reaction by Bobby Portis as you can possibly have. And you place blame at his feet quite obviously. He's the one that did it. There's no heat-of-the-moment nonsense when you hit a guy that hard. It's not a, you know, you want to shove him, you want to get him away from you. You throw a punch like that, that essentially has been described to me by a couple different people as a sucker punch. You know, sucker punch a guy like that, you have to bear the consequences of that. But I will also say this, and I want to go, I'm not blaming Fred Hoiberg, I'm blaming Bobby Portis, but I will say this about the culture that Fred Hoiberg has built. Guys have a lot of freedoms around that organization, players, and in that locker room that players on other teams don't necessarily feel. There is there's such thing with Freddie here as treating these guys like men a little too much. There's not enough tight boundaries in Chicago, and that's been a common theme out of Hoiberg's tenure there. With that said, this whole thing, listen, I also heard the league's getting involved here, and I think you're going to see Bobby Portis with a multiple-game suspension. I think it's very important for the league in this scenario to make a big statement with this type of behavior. It's not something they can accept. And just because it happened in practice and not in the game doesn't mean the league shouldn't levy a pretty good suspension and a very hefty fine. fine against Bobby.
Everybody's excited about Lonzo Ball's debut. He says he's ready to go on Thursday. How do you think that season's going to play out with all those kids?
I'm going to tell you this. That is going to be the most fun you'll ever see on a 28-win team. That's just, it's going to be fun to watch. He's a blast to watch, Lonzo Ball. He enjoys the game, and he's a great kid. He really is. Ingram will probably be a year better. I mean, listen, Brooke Lopez is kind of a silkhead on a pig there, but they're about developing the young guys. And I think it'll be fun to watch them, but they're not going to have any success out there. I mean, that's not what that team is put together for right now. It's interesting when you have a guy like Julius Randle playing for a contract. You know, Clarkson's a nice player, but they're going to probably look to move Clarkson because he makes too much money, because they want to load up to grab LeBron this offseason and make sure they have that opportunity. Listen, I think you'll see Lowell Deng play a bunch early. If they don't, I think they're silly, because if they can see him play productively, maybe somebody decides to take him off their hands for nothing. I mean, it's a tight cap situation. He makes a lot of money, but you never know. So there's options out there for them if they're smart about this. But again, yes, it's about the young guys. It's too young, and it's not a good basketball team. And listen, Lonzo's going to be a blast, but they're just not going to win a lot of games.
Young Gelt Militia with us. Let me ask you, Thursday, anything special from Melo against Porzingis and the Knicks? You think Melo will do anything against them?
I think that what they're going to do for Melo is that you'll see Westbrook and George with a lot of on-court generosity to Carmelo to give him an opportunity to have a big game. And I think you will see him have a big game for L. One thing I think, and it's interesting because I felt a little bit like this about Wade and Rose tonight in the new situations there. And these guys were in miserable situations last year. And you go to a place where you have a chance to win a lot of games, and the game becomes fun for you again. And when you're in those losing situations and you get to winning situations, there's a unique kind of appreciation for it. And I do think these three OKC guys are together with the understanding that they've kind of been thrown together here with a very unique opportunity, and that I think they're all willing to give a little bit to make sure everybody feels considered and included. I think this is going to be a very good threesome, Melo, Westbrook, and Paul George. And I think they'll understand that for Melo, the way the organization treated him, and not just Phil Jackson, the way the organization treated him, because a lot of those bad feelings remain from people like Steve Mills and Jim Dolan with Melo after Phil was no longer there. And with the way that organization treated him, you're going to see those guys feed Melo a lot and try to get Melo going and give him an opportunity to have a big game against this former team.
So Aldridge gets an extension, and do you think with Aldridge and Kawhi, we've already seen it before, but do you think they get into that Western Final, or is it OKC?
I think it's OKC. It's interesting. You know, my favorite over-under on the board this season was OKC over 53.5. I think that's a 60-win team. I think they're so good. I really do. And listen, I don't like to sleep on Popovich. They won 61 games in their first year without Tim Duncan. Think about that for a minute. Absolutely amazing. And I don't know what the deal is with this Leonard injury, and I'm sure it's a lot of it is cloak and dagger with Pop and not revealing things. And I'm sure Leonard will be fine and be out there. But the point is I think they made an enormous mistake, that team. In the offseason, I never would have given Rudy Gay that money. I would have given Jonathan Simmons the money he gave Rudy Gay. I really would have. Jonathan Simmons, one thing he showed in the playoffs, he can play in front of James Harden and Kevin Durant. And very few guys in the league can do that. And I think they needed a defender like that. They're going to be weaker for it. I think Oklahoma City's a better team. I really do. And I'll tell you, I picked Billy Donovan for Coach of the Year. I think that's a terrific situation. There's a rebirth of title contention and the game in that city with that group that I think there's a real unique kind of spirit with them. And I think that city's going to rally for that team. And that team's a really fun team to watch. And not only that, you know, with Adams in the middle, this team's going to be excellent. Patrick Patterson is a free agent. Felton will give them some minutes behind Westbrook. They got some depth. It's a really, really interesting basketball team. I think they win over 60 and go to a conference final and give Golden State all they can handle.
And lastly, I'm watching Harden right now. I don't know if you just saw that movie put on to score. Was that not the sickest? I don't even know what the hell that was. He was like crossover, step back, spin cycle, and then left-hand layup. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. I don't know who he did that to, but that was the worst jockstrap drop I've seen in maybe a year.
Well, they're already into Golden State's bench. He actually did that to Jordan Bell.
Bell. Oh, God, he worked Bell bad.
Gaga on and loves, and he's probably going to be a nice player at one point or another. But having him have to switch on to James Harden on pick and roll isn't exactly an ideal scenario for a second-round pick's first NBA game.
Yacht, absolutely. I mean, that was the greatest spin cycle move. And I mean, he lit him up like no one's business. Hey, Brian, great stuff tonight, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Always my pleasure, Phil. Let's do it again soon, buddy.
There he is from NBA Radio and HoopsCritic.com, the Young Gelt Militia, Brian Geltzeiler.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.